Welcome to Friday. It's an exciting day, both for who we have speaking in chapel, as well as some visitors that we have on campus. At least somewhere around 90 people here for scholarship weekend and families with them. So if you are here for scholarship weekend as a visitor, along with your family, if you guys would stand where y'all are so we can welcome you to Asbury. It's great to have you. We especially welcome you this morning to chapel, one of these great moments in our week. And with this being Friday, we started off the week with Bishop David Roller asking us this question: how are we going to reach 305 million people? A question just about what the gospel does here in the United States and how we are a part of that. On Wednesday, Deb Weidenhammer shared as a businesswoman, and she asked and encouraged us to be encouragers, giving us examples how that can be a witness of Christ's love. Today we're going to hear from a soccer player who is committed to being a witness for Christ through athletics. And so if you would please prepare your hearts for prayers. Kelly German comes forward, one of Asbury's own soccer players, to lead us in prayer.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are stronger. You are bigger than any of our problems, Lord. And I pray that we come to you and that we realize that you are our daddy. God, I thank you for the opportunity of being here at Asbury, and I thank you for the opportunity of knowing such an awesome man who can show Christ through playing soccer, through meeting people. And God, I thank you for the opportunity for me to live that out in my life, and I pray that all of us can do that too. In your son's name, amen. So, I know these two men personally, and it has been an honor and a privilege. Chad, I met 2 years ago at the soccer camp that we put on, and his friendship and his authenticity has just truly been amazing to me. And some of you may know Mark as the, he is actually an Asbury graduate, and or some of you may know him as the vice chair of the board of Ichthus of Ministries. I know him as a close friend and a truly been a blessing to me in my life. So without further ado, Mark Nichols.
About 25, 30 years ago, an organization called Missionary Athletes International had the vision of using soccer to serve God. They started a professional soccer team in North Carolina called the Charlotte Eagles, and over the past many years, they have become an incredibly talented team that has guys coming and going from Major League Soccer, but mostly spreading the word of God and Jesus Christ around the world. They have fine men like Chad Smith, who's going to speak to you today, who come there to play great competitive soccer so that they can do missions in the United States and around the world. They have opportunities for high school kids, they have opportunities for college kids, and they have opportunities for professional soccer players. Chad Smith went to Northwestern University as a soccer player. Midwestern University. We've been doing this for a while. Midwestern University as a soccer player. After that time, he spent a little bit of time with FC Dallas in the Major League Soccer down in Dallas, and also the Houston Dynamos. He spent some time at the Richmond Kickers, I believe they're called. What are they, the Richmond? Virginia Beach Mariners. I apparently don't know Chad very well. The most important place that he spent time was at the Charlotte Eagles, where he currently serves as their director of marketing, mainly because he's easy to look at. And Mitch looks better. Sorry. Anyway, Chad has been part of a soccer camp that we started a couple years ago here at Asbury, along with the Asbury coaches, and he's been just an instrumental part of that opportunity. And He's a great guy. You're in for a great treat today. And I'm proud and honored to introduce a very dear friend of mine and brother in Christ, Chad Smith.
Good morning. Is this on?
What about that? There we go. Happy Friday 13th. I wouldn't say that. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Some of y'all might not know that, but it is. So Friday 13th, Valentine's Day. It's kind of ironic that they're kind of back to back, but Valentine's Day is a great day. Yes, Mark, thank you so much for the introduction. Midwestern State University. But if you guys do not know Mark Nichols, I would encourage you guys to meet him, get to know him, because he's a true man of God. I know it's all the men in here, boys, that is what we're striving to be. And if you want an example, a guy with gray hair, that's the guy right there. So, hey, if you want to know what it means to be a true, honorable man of God who leads, who guides, who brings young kids in to disciple him, that's the guy you need to get to right there. My name is Chad Smith. I am from Houston, Texas. Anyone in here from Texas? Any of the guests in the back? Yes. All right. We don't go alone. What I want to talk to you guys about today, yes, I play for the Charlotte Eagles. It is a professional soccer team. We use soccer as a ministry. But I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of soccer, because who here plays soccer? Just keep your hands raised. Who here has played soccer before? Really? Okay, maybe I should change what I'm going to talk about. But what I want to talk about is letters. All right, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and letters are something that is kind of a lost art. Who here has written a letter in the last month or so? Handwritten letter. Who's sent an email? Okay, who has texted? Who is texting right now? I got a couple hands, and I appreciate your honesty. This is chapel, so, I mean, it's better to be honest, right? But seriously, there's something about a letter. Letters are typically something that you just don't do on a whim. You'll text someone, hey, how's it going? But when you send somebody a letter, it's a little bit more in depth. It's a little bit, you take your time. You want to make sure you send this message in a way that when the person reads it, they really understand where you're coming from, what you're trying to say. People don't typically write letters much anymore. I was talking to my grandmother before she died, and my grandfather was actually a fighter pilot in World War II. He did a lot of combats. He did combat fighting. When the bombers would come in, he was one of the guys that would go in and protect the bombers as they would do bombing raids. And I was talking to my grandmother about it. I was like, tell me about Daddy-O, and that's kind of what they call him. They call him Daddy-O. And the thing she tells me, she says, you know what? Daddy-O loved me. I'm like, well, what do you mean he loved you? Of course he loved you. And she's like, no. He really loved me. I'm like, well, what does that mean? And she goes to this cabinet, and she pulls out this box, and it's filled to the top with letters, handwritten letters from the war. And my grandfather was in the war for a long time. He basically left college early and went straight into the Air Force. Well, it was the Army at the time, but then they had the airplanes. And so my grandfather, every chance he got, he would write a letter to my grandmother telling her how much he loved her. And to me, I was like, man, you know, there's something about letters. Letters say something that you can't say in an email. You can't really say, sometimes even say in person, because you can't really get the words out. But a letter, a handwritten letter, is powerful, especially when they're written eloquently. Because when someone reads it, they know, hey, this person sat down and took the time, and they're going to send me a message of, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be a love letter. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Guys, if you're looking for any ideas, maybe you could go that route. Maybe you could buy some flyers, I don't know. But if you would, does anyone have their Bible? Does anyone have a Bible with them? Yeah, if you're pulling it out of the pews or the chairs, all right, that's good, because I'm using the same one, so I'll tell you what page we're going to be on if you need to. All right, if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's on page 817 for all you guys that are using the Bible in the back. All right. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's a pretty powerful passage. You and I are letters. God has specifically chosen everyone in this room to be a letter to everyone you're around. And just to put things into perspective, God has entrusted us, everyone in here, with the most powerful message, the most powerful letter that you could ever send somebody. All right, stick your finger in your Bible right here and then turn to 1 John. Let's see. 1 John 4:12 is where we'll be. I like the sound of pages turning in Bibles. Thank you guys for bringing your Bible, by the way. Okay, I'm just going to read the first part. No one has ever seen God. All right, now turn back. 1 Corinthians. Let's read it again. You yourselves are our letter, written on your heart, on our hearts, known and read by who? Everybody. Oh boy. Kind of put things into perspective. No one has seen God. Now, I know there's people that have had visions and people say they've seen God, but God hasn't actually come down and like shaken your hand, or has he? All right, put things into perspective. No one has ever seen God. I haven't. But I have seen God in people. Our letter is known and read by who? Everybody. Say everybody. Come on. Everybody. Okay. All right. I know it is kind of a scary thing to think about that God has entrusted us, God has specifically chosen us to carry this love letter so everybody can read it. All right. It's kind of a scary thought. Like, whoa, no one really knows who I am. I'm not that popular. I mean, I don't have a bunch of friends. But you don't have to necessarily know someone to be sending them a letter. True or false? The answer to that is true. Let's try that again. True or false? True. This is participation. I ask you to raise your hand. You dig out. So if I ask a question, don't be shy. You can respond to it. You cannot hide your letter. Your letter is written on your what? Your heart. All right. Your heart defines you. Where your heart is, so is your what? Treasure. True. Man, you guys are smart. Christian college. I did not go to a Christian college. I'm a product of the Texas public school system. So you guys already have a leg up on me. You cannot hide what's on your heart. Your heart defines you. And when your letter is written on your heart, that is what people are reading. All right, whether you want to or not, everybody is reading you. Right now, you guys are reading me. All right, when you go into a crowd, people notice you. When you talk to people, people hear what you're saying. All right, and I like the first part of 2 Corinthians where he talks about, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? I like that because in our culture, in our society, it's the same way there. Paul was talking to the church there in Corinth, and the big thing for them to go out and speak was to get like letters of recommendation, like, hey, this guy's a good speaker, here's my resume. And Paul's like, whoa, slow down. It doesn't matter what numbers or letters or whatever come behind your name. Doctor, masters, the plaques on your wall. Those letters of recommendation don't matter in terms of your letter of love to other people. When someone's in a time of need, they could really care less if you've got a master's in divinity. When we do ministry, soccer ministry overseas, and we go work with these little kids who don't speak English and I don't speak Spanish, they don't care that I have a degree and I'm educated from America. All they care about is that I love them, that I interact with them, that I show I care about them. All right, they're reading my letter. Letters aren't necessarily spoken. All right, I love that he says, hey, you are letters, not speakers. Who knows who Ralph Waldo Emerson is? Okay, good. All right. He has a quote that says, your actions speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. All right. So, let's keep moving on in the Bible, shall we? Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts. I know we're hopping around a little bit, but I promise it'll help you out become a little bit more familiarized with the Bible that you just pulled out of the back of the seat in front of you. All right, we're going to go into Acts 4:13. And I'm just going to read the first little part of it. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were what? Astonished. That's a pretty powerful word. Astonished. And they took note that these men had been with who? Oh man, what a powerful passage that is. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. All right. What does your letter say? When people interact with you, when you're around people, when you're in groups, all right, does your letter show that you've been with Jesus? And believe me, I'm not standing up here saying that I have it figured out. Because believe me, I don't. When I was doing this study, I basically did this study for myself. All right, and I'm just sharing it with you guys. What does your letter say? When people are around you, can they see that you've been with Jesus? Because remember, God has specifically chosen each one of us to carry his message of love. No one has seen God, right? No one's seen God. All right? God uses us so people can see God in us to influence them. I love letters. I've already said that. And letters are a powerful thing. All right? A lot of the New Testament is nothing but letters. And my hope for you guys is that you can really put that in the back of your mind of how important it is, how important your letter is, how much credibility rides on your letter. All right? Because I'll be honest with you, as a Christian, I grew up in the church. My great-grandfather was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My dad is a deacon, elder. He's been instrumental in planting churches. All right? So I've been around. I know all the right things to say and all the right things. I should know all the right things to do. All right? I can tell people what they need to hear. I can say, hey, I'll be praying for you. Hey, this is just one of those situations where God's going to do something amazing for you. All right? And I can say all the right things and be like, okay, you're on your own. I'll be praying for you. All right? But a lot of times people just need to read your letter. All right? And if you don't send that letter, you don't send the right letter, people will never see the love of God. If there were ever a time in our culture, in our society, in this world to be bold and to have that letter and to be excited about it and to love people, now's the time. True or false? True. All right? And the thing is, let me turn back to 2 Corinthians, would you? And we're going to start in verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. All right? As young Christian men and women, God that has specifically chosen you to be at Asbury has specifically raised you up in churches to be guided and to be led and to be educated. All right? The responsibility falls on us. Does that not kind of intimidate you a little bit? All right? God doesn't need us, but he uses us. And so as competent, educated Christians, we are without excuse. I had a friend tell me one time, he's a good friend of mine, and I don't know why, but I always miss him, like when he calls me, and I always be like, I'll call you back, and sometimes I forget, and he's like, dude, you always say you're going to call me back, and you never do, and then I'll come up, like, well, yeah, and he's like, don't make excuses, quit making excuses, seriously, why don't you call me back? I'm like, well, and he's like, no, tell me why you don't call me back. I'm like, I don't have a reason, you know, and it's kind of embarrassing that, hey, why don't I send that letter of love? Why don't I communicate the letter, the love of Jesus Christ to all these people who are around me? Because remember, no one's seen God. People know me. People know you. And so it's even more important that we use our positions as educated Christians that know what to say, know what to do, that know better to really, really, really spread the love of Jesus Christ. And it's not necessarily in how you speak. All right, we can say all the right things. People watch what you do. When we play Greg, Mitch, Ben, Ponch, all these guys that play, when we play soccer, we do all these sports ministry things with these kids. We teach kids how to be sports ministers, how to use sports as an avenue to influence the people around them. We teach that. All right? So we're telling them, hey, you can't do this. This is what you need to do. This is how you use your athleticism, all these things. And then we invite them to come watch us play. All right? What would happen if we taught them all these things, how to be good players, how to like pick people up when they're down, how to play with integrity, how to play with honor, how to play in a way that glorifies God, playing within the means of the rules. What if we played in a way that didn't depict that? Our credibility would be so shot. And my heart breaks for Christians all around the world because sometimes we don't have the best reputations. True or false? True. And that kills me. Kills me that the love of Jesus Christ is in us, and sometimes we can be so cruel to one another. We have letters of hate and anger coming out of us. Just like when the guys were before the Sanhedrin in Acts, they were astonished they'd been with Jesus. I'll be honest with you, I'm the first one to admit that, guys, sometimes you would not even know that I'm a Christian. All right? When people see you, do they see Jesus? It's pretty intense. See some of you guys like, ooh, I don't know. Yeah, that's how I feel too. All right? Okay, good. We're good on time. It wouldn't be Valentine's Day without a love letter, right? In my hands, I have a love letter. It's not your typical love letter. This is actually a love letter from a soldier. No, it's not a letter from my grandfather to my grandmother. This is a letter from a guy named Sullivan Bilyeu. He was a soldier in the Civil War. And so I'm going to read it to you. And this is an unbelievable love letter. All right. He wrote it to his wife. It says, "Dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. And lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I am no more. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged. And my courage does not halt or falter. I know how American civilization now leans upon the triumph of the government and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and sufferings of the revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay a debt. My dearest Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly with all those chains to the battlefield. The memory of all the blissful moments I have enjoyed with you come crowding over me, and I feel most deeply grateful to God and to you that I have enjoyed them for so long. And how hard is it for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes in future years when, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and seen our boys grown up to honorable manhood. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I loved you, nor that when my last breath escapes me on that battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my faults and the many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have sometimes been. But, oh, Sarah, if the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they love, I shall always be with you in the brightest day and in the darkest night. Always, always. And when the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath, or the cool air throbbing your temple. It shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn me dead. Think I am gone or wait for me. For we shall meet again. What a letter that is. And just to give you a little bit of background on that letter, this letter was never sent to her. He died on the battlefield a week later. And after they gathered all the effects of Sullivan, it was several months later that she received this letter. Some people might call that divine intervention or whatever, that she got it late. But can you imagine being Sarah, lonely, having kids to raise, having no husband, unsure about where they're going to get their food, how they're going to live, and then getting this letter? How awesome would that be? How uplifting that would that be to know that my husband loved me unconditionally? Sullivan's letter revealed the height, depth, and breadth of his love. He wrote in such a way that his wife would know he loved her with all of his being. This letter is like poetry. Who here would like to get a letter like that? Guys, it's okay to raise your hand. I would love something like that. All right, all the girls are like, I want one. I've gotten a couple letters in my life, handwritten letters, and I think the thing for me that makes letters so great, handwritten letters, is the handwriting. I actually saw a picture of this letter online, and you could see the handwriting. The handwriting looked like calligraphy. Who knows what calligraphy is? Do people know? Okay, it's like a font. Okay, it was handwritten so neatly, I bet Sarah, his wife, read this letter and read this letter and reread this letter and read it again and read it again until the paper almost just came apart. As we are letters from Christ, this is a type of letters we should be sending people. That they know that when you're gone, when you leave, that they were loved. All right? When we do ministries overseas, one of the greatest needs that these kids have is not necessarily the material things, clothes, food. That's definitely a need. But for the little kids that we do sessions with, coaching clinics with, the thing that they need the most is love. A lot of these kids have never experienced legitimate, true love where they've been included, where someone has hugged them, told them they cared about them. All right? They're typically left with their own devices. And when we come in and we just basically pour love all over them, it's almost more than they can handle. And some of the players on our team have told stories about how they left a coaching clinic and these little kids, and the kids bawled after they left. Like, please don't go. Please don't go. Because all they want to do is read that letter again. Read it again. Please, please send me that love letter again. So as Christians, God, remember, God has specifically chosen us to be a love letter to everyone we encounter. And guys, I know you're like, dude, that's just not the way I do things. All right? I'll tell you a quick story. What's my time doing? I got 1 minute. Okay. I'll tell a quick story. One of my friends, real close friend of mine, his wife passed away. And there's this big funeral, and not a lot of us close friends could go. And I was like, you know what, for some reason it's just like burdening me that I got to go to this funeral. And let's be honest, no one gets excited about going to a funeral. But my friend, he's an unbelievable guy. He's not a believer. And so it was in a building probably this big. And I was kind of up in the balcony, and he was sitting down here. And he didn't even know I was there. I didn't get a chance to see him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. He had no clue I was there. And then like a week later, he comes up to me and gives me a hug. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, man, I saw you at my wife's funeral, and I just wanted to thank you. Guys, sometimes it's not necessarily what we say or even the hugs we give, but sometimes it's just being around. Sometimes people just need loving, caring company. And that's something we can all do. All right, I'm going to pray for us. And my hope for you guys is that you really make a conscious effort to think about your letter. Now remember, this Sullivan's letter wasn't sent. She eventually got it. So you may think, well, my credibility, all these things. Hey, it's never too late to send a letter of love. Right? And I know you're like, wow, what's with all the love stuff? But that's what God is. God is what? Love. Who doesn't want to be loved? I don't care how tough a guy you are. You want to be loved. Just real quick, I'm sorry, I'm going to go like 2 more minutes. Is that okay? Just two? Okay. 2 more minutes. All right. I promise. I got the clock right there. We went to, when we were in Colombia with the soccer team, we went to this prison. It was this really, really bad prison in Colombia of the hardest, like the probably the worst people on the planet, drug dealers, rapists, people that were in trafficking of people, buying and selling. I mean, it's just most of the people in there were in there for murder. Probably the darkest place you could possibly go, a place you would never want to go. And there was a ministry in there. And it was a church that came in and had created this discipleship group. It was basically a church within this prison. And this prison, I don't want to get into the details, but it's called the Bella Vista Prison. You can look it up. For the longest time, they had 60 people would die a month there. Prisoners would be killing prisoners, so 60 people a month would be killed in this prison. I mean, it was that violent. And they brought this ministry in there, and we got the opportunity to meet some of the prisoners, murderers, that had been converted to Christ through this ministry. And we met guys, this one guy, he was like in charge of like this paramilitary group. And they kind of went around in this circle and they kind of told him kind of their story. And he's like, well, I was convicted of 12 murders. And kind of like, well, how many did you do? You know, because I was convicted. But if you met this guy poured out love. And he loved coming up and hugging the guys that came in the door. If someone would come in the door, he'd just give them a hug. Hey, I want you to introduce this guy. And this is a guy that lived his life. His job was to be an assassin. So I don't care how tough you think you are, how removed you want to be. People need love. And God has specifically picked you and me. Who here knows someone who's lost, who's not a Christian? Yeah, God has specifically chosen us to reach those people. It's an honor to have been called by Christ. True or false? Whew. Thank goodness. All right. And so so my hope for you is to think about it. Think about any time you're in a circle, any time you're in your group. You are a letter. People are reading you whether you want to be read or not. And my hope for you is that your letter is a letter of love from God. All right, so I'm going to pray for us, and then I think the band's going to come up. All right, let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we come to you just in awe of your love for us and your patience for us. And you love us unconditionally despite our inefficiencies and the way we sometimes turn our backs on you. Lord, you are a perfect and holy God. And I just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, you will guide us, and you will allow us to be letters of love from you, Lord. I pray that our hearts and our minds and our souls will be love. So everyone that interacts with us, sees us, talk to us, will see you in us, Lord. We are vessels, we are hollow, but Lord, please fill us with your love. Lord, and I just thank you so much for this college. I thank you so much for everyone in this room. I thank you for the hospitality of those who have made this possible. And Lord, I just pray tonight, or this afternoon, that you'll just be with us as we go. Allow us to be letters of love to everyone we see. And Lord, most importantly, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We don't deserve him, Lord, but thank you so much for loving us the way you do. And it's in your most glorious and holy name that I pray. Amen.